allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And if we could have a roll call, please.
Adams?
Here.
Freeman? Here. Salen?
Here.
Mann?
Here.
Mitchell?
Here.
Weitzel?
Here.
Weston?
Here.
Okay, everyone's here. Next on our agenda is public comment. Who'd like to go first?
Actually, I'm going to get out of here. I got to go back to our sheriff's office for our victim support team meeting, so the roles are getting a little slick.
Is there a basketball game tonight?
We start Wednesday, so it'll probably be next month. But while I'm there, my understanding next month is on a Tuesday night, is that correct?
Yes.
It's the day after President's Day, right?
Okay.
So I don't know if I'll be here or not. But start out, I'm on charge tonight from the sheriff's office, and a few things. I gave you the statistics for the month and also ran them through today, actually. We had a larceny of a ladder on West Stowe Road. The suspect vehicle was a two-color Cavalier, just to let you know. MVOP at Aunt Millie's, somebody did some damage to three of the radiators on the delivery trucks. And then we had a stolen car out of Royal Scott. And then I talked to an individual about a loud music complaint on Summer Lane, and I think they contacted somebody from the township about an ordinance violation, and I'll check into that. I'm going to get back with them on that. I know our deputies went out there this week on the same complaint. I told them to call 911 if they continue to get those complaints. At least I'd send a deputy out, try to document it, and hopefully we could quiet them down. So that's all there. We had our first ever auction sale. This last Ken helped out, so we sold all the, under new statute, we can now sell guns that we seize, different crimes. We used to have to destroy them all, and we can now sell them. So we had 56 guns that we sold in an auction. I was tickled to death. We were cleaning out our evidence room. We made about $9,300 gross on it, and put $7,800 back in the general fund. So it was between that and our forfeiture. It was a nice thing to have, and it helped us clear out evidence room, plus made the county a little bit of money. Our GR revenue, I hope to have, if I don't have next month, or the statistics I can give to you from our annual report, but it looks like we're going to have a record year for GR revenue last year in a ballpark of $1.4 million. Right now we're running at 218 inmates, of which about 80 are ours, so we're still continuing to make good money out of our jail. And our ticket revenue and all of our wrestling revenue was about the same or higher than in previous years. We had about 13,000 tickets, of which several were written in Watertown Township due to 96 and 69. But that's a good year for us, and the fact that we were deputy short all summer long, good year for us and bad year for other people. But all in all, it made our roadways safer. So that's our ultimate goal, and our fatalities are still quite low. And so that's all I have. Does anybody have anything? Yes.
I heard from someone at the library that Clinton County deputies are second in the state in traffic citations.
We're in the top five in the state for all counties, and that takes Oakland, Wayne, all the counties that have like 200 deputies or, and for example, I had a class, or I work at Lansing Community College. Ingham County's deputies write on an average about 30 tickets a month. Our guys, on an average, we write about 1,000 to 1,100 tickets between 16 deputies. So we're up in the ballpark of 80 to 90. And the average for the state, deputy-wise, I think is, I got to remember these numbers right. Our average for this per deputy, we were 13,000 tickets for 16 officers. So it's just under 1,000 tickets per officer. And I think the average per deputy is around 100 tickets a year. So that's where we're at. I give our guys, it's not necessarily me, it's our guys out working the road, kudos, because we run four guys a shift at the most, and they work hard. So, and we try to keep the other kind down as well. So thank you. The guys on the road, they do a good job. So that's all I have.
Kyle, how are the break-ins? Last I heard, there was quite a few break-ins in Clinton County. Has that been?
That's the case. We're in a hit or a miss all of a sudden. I think I've addressed this board before. We'll catch one or two people, and then we think we've got some solved, and all of a sudden somebody turns around. The thing that I've seen recently that I've never seen since I've been in here 24 years is there's been two females that we caught recently that are addicted to heroin. And their sole reason that they broke in was because they were addicted to heroin. And one broke into her parents' house because her drug dealer needed money and she knew where she could go get some cash. So she broke into her own parents' place and stole money, and she admitted to it. And then we had another female that we arrested for a beanie that was addicted to heroin. So that's, I talked to, I think it was Fowler last week, Tom was there actually, and back when I started, in our holding cells, we have six holding cells up front. It's where we put the fresh arrest, and then if somebody's going through withdrawals or something like that, we'll put them. When I first started, a lot of years ago, there would be nobody there besides the drunk drivers. Now if you go into our booking areas, because we have 24-hour observation there, there's continuously at least one or two people there under observation for withdrawal from some type of narcotic. So it's sad. I mean, it's like a medical ward up there, and it's only getting worse. So we have somebody up there constantly, and it never used to be that way. So, but most of it's drug driven.
And they're brazen too. I've heard that they actually drive right in the driveway when people are sitting on their porch.
Oh, we got a gentleman last night. Our night shift did a good job breaking into a garage up in the Elsie. They were trying to break the garage. They broke in, stole the crowbar, went to the neighboring garage, was breaking into that. That guy saw them, called our guys. Our night guys were on their guy, dog guy, out of Saginaw County, and they tracked them. Were able to apprehend them. Actually, still sitting in our jail. So they do this all the time. Yeah, thank you. All set? Next month, I don't know if I'll be here or not, but I'll definitely see you in March. So,
okay.
All right?
Thank you.
Thanks. Have a good week.
I'm Jack Enderly, District 4 County Commissioner. And it's not true that the officers spent a lot of time in the donut shop, obviously, to answer Jennifer's question.
They did away with Dunkin' Donuts with Vaughn, now.
Probably the first thing, I think I mentioned that we would have the organizational meeting, which did take place last week, Tuesday. Commissioner Showers will be serving as a board chairman. There are a few committee assignments that are a little bit different, but generally speaking, they're the same ones. We got the 911 expert here, but I'll just mention that I think I've told you that the tower is constructed at the southwest part of the county to serve this area. And Jim just indicated they're about to start, you know, installing the equipment. So it'll be a matter of time until it's up and going. There's going to require some work on our tap road tower to get it up to snuff, you know, up to new code. Another thing, it's not in my Watertown township or yours. It's Muskrat Lake. This has been going on for probably 10 years. It's state property, a lot of it DNR property, and the lake had a beaver dam taken out, as I understand it, a long time ago, and lowered the water. If you go by on the road, you could see the cement ramp where you put your boat in is way up out of the water. Well, the new dam has been installed, so they're making progress. The conservation
department. Is that man-made or beaver-made?
This is man-made. Yep. There's still work to be done on it, you know, when we get into the growing season again, they make sure it won't wash out. The only other thing, and again, you have your own waste management, but I know some of you participated in our county-wide, program, and the dates have been set. The one for the road commission is Saturday, the 21st of April. And the other one for Wood Street, Granger facility, is the 25th of August. I think maybe a week or two earlier than it has been, but that's a Saturday also. Madam Chair, if you have any questions, I entertain them or from the board or the audience.
I don't think so. Thank you, Jack.
Thank you.
Additional public comment?
Thank you. Well, good evening, and thank you for having me. My name is Tom Leonard, and I am running to succeed Paul Opsmer for state representative. Paul will soon be term limited. I did mail out some information about myself probably a couple weeks ago. Is there anybody on the board that did not get that? Okay, good deal. Just a little bit about myself. My wife and I, Janelle, we reside in DeWitt Township, where I serve as chairman of the Public Safety Commission. I'm currently an assistant attorney general. Prior to that, I spent 3 years as a prosecutor in Flint, where I was assigned to our special crimes division, and the last year was under the undercover drug team. Quite an interesting job. I got to go out on the streets with the officers and stuff, and my wife was not very happy the first night that I went out, and they gave me a bulletproof vest and said, here, this is in case things get too out of control. So I was a prosecutor in Flint. It was a great job for 3 years. Now work for the Attorney General's office. Since I announced, I have been humbled to receive the endorsement of Attorney General Bill Schuette, Senator Alan Cropsey, Sheriff Wayne Kangas, Prosecutor Sherman, former Register of Deeds Carol Woolley, and four of the seven county commissioners, as well as several local officials. So with that, I'll take any questions if you have any. I will be here for the rest of the night, so if you have any questions after the meeting, I'll be around as well.
Is the district still intact, or has it been changed by your apportionment?
It has changed a little bit. It's almost, I would say, 90% intact. Right now, the way that Representative Opsmer, the district is with Representative Opsmer, it's all of Clinton County with the exception of three townships and then all of Gratiot County. The district's going to change just a little bit, and that the good thing for Clinton is that Clinton's going to come completely together, so it's going to be all of Clinton County, and then Elma and St. Louis up in Gratiot will no longer be in the district, as well as four of the surrounding townships. So of all the districts around the state, this one stayed intact probably better than most of them. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
I'm John Clark, the chair of the Looking Glass Fire Authority. The chief was going to be here tonight to give a report, and I just heard from Chief Clark that there was a terrible accident, so all our people are tied up with that. But I can give you some of the statistical year-end information, two or three items. Our runs are up for the year. We're about 550 runs. That's 50 runs higher than last year, roughly. We are about 7% under our budget. And finally, for some reason that we can't determine yet, the number of medical runs in Eagle are increasing, which is shifting the balance of the payments between the two townships a little more toward Eagle and a little less toward Watertown. Those are the highlights. If you have any other questions, I'd be glad to answer them the best I can.
Are you going to stay for the agenda item, too?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay. Because you got up on a public comment, I thought you were trying to get out the door in a hurry.
He knows better. We need him. Mike, did you want to go ahead?
Good evening, Madam Supervisor and board members. My name is Mike Trabish, and I currently live at with my wife and my little daughter, Courtney Lynn, and she's 28 months old. We live at 4553 South US 27 in St. John's, Michigan, and I am running for the 93rd District House seat, which is an open seat. You may ask the first question, why I'm running and why I'm going to win. You know I've run two times before. Well, Senator Richard Bill, the Senate Majority Leader, also lost his first race, and Abraham Lincoln lost his first three races. I have run before, and I have run against popular incumbents. In 2006, I did carry Gratiot County. In 2010, I did carry Clinton County. So both of those counties are in the 93rd District. Now, why would I have an advantage? Well, I have carried both counties. I have a strong, super good team. Senator Valde Garcia has been very generous with time. He's taken me around and introduced me to many farmers, business people, and community leaders. I also have a great team. Saturday, I went to an event. I picked up 11 individuals who want to work on my campaign. As far as the issues, I am right on the issues. I'm born and raised on a Michigan farm. I still manage and operate over 300 acres of Michigan farmland. I'm president of our local haymaker group. We just had a meeting Friday night. I'm also been Right to Life qualified. I've been also a CPA for 38 years. I've been recognized by the state of Michigan as the Advocate of the Year for Small Business. Chamber of Commerce has recognized me as a Small Business Owner of the Year. We need someone in Lansing that understands business, that has been on both sides of the check, been in business, understands regulations, understands the consequences of tax. People are scared, as you all know, people out there are scared, and they're afraid to lose. They're going to be losing their job. They want bold leadership. They want somebody with experience. They want somebody that's been successful. I don't need a job. I could just sit home and enjoy my daughter, but I just can't do that. I just have a burning something in me to go down to Lansing and make a contribution to those who are given much, much as expected. I'm an elected township official. I'm treasurer of Bingham Township, and I'm very proud of the success that we made on Bingham Township. Prior to my appointment, there was a lot of, let's say, discord. I used to tell the members after the very meeting that I was on for about 6 months that we are neighbors, we can walk to each other's homes, we should get along, we should be professional. And I'm have solid pride with regards to the township and the collegiality that we currently have. And we have made great success. We are no longer in need of any financial assistance. We are paying our bills. We're basically making all of the obligations in a timely fashion. As a township official, I certainly believe in local control, local government, and I'm certainly not in favor of abolishing the township. I'm certainly not in favor of abolishing the township form of government, and I'm certainly not in favor of any mandates, unfunded mandates. So those are some of the reasons why I believe that we're going to be your next state representative, and I certainly will be here on a regular basis. Unfortunately, I cannot stay tonight. I have a couple more appointments, and Courtney likes to go out and meet people. But if you do have a question, I'll be happy to answer any question that you have.
Okay.
Yes?
Whose position are you replacing?
It's Paul Opsner, Representative Paul Opsner. He's currently in.
So you're running against the state?
Yes, right. So it's an open seat, and as I mentioned, I did run against two popular figures last time. It is an open seat. That gives me an advantage. So I did carry Gratiot County. I did carry Clinton County, even though the, let's say, the powers to be were not in my corner. And we're going to work hard. I will be a good listener, and I promise to work hard. With that, I...
George, did you have a question?
Not a question, but it's going to be an interesting primary with so many candidates, and then with the description of the district, it's going to be a heavily Republican district, so whoever wins the primary wins the general election, too, so it's going to be very interesting and challenging.
Well, it certainly is a primary election, yes. And people have been super, super supportive. It's just amazing and humbling. I can't go to store, I can't go to church, I can't go anywhere without people saying, "Geez, Travis, you're going to run, you're going to be in this race." And okay, I guess that's what we're going to be doing. So once I make the commitment, my wife is certainly 100% behind me. If your spouse is not a supporter, then basically you should not be involved with any type of political office. So we're in this to win, and it's fun. I love meeting people. It's just been a great experience to sit at grandpa's and grandma's table, I say with respect, kitchen table, and find out the history, the experience that they have, and they've been certainly willing to share and give me any time or effort or resources or support that they possibly can. So the people of our community are great people, and they deserve better than what we have as far as the economy. So with that, I certainly appreciate your attention. And I'll certainly ask you for your support and your vote. And we're working on our website, and I will have that up and running in probably a couple weeks. And we'll have the best website out there as far as information and content and friendliness. So thank you very much for your attention.
All
look
right.
Forward to being your representative.
Thank you.
feel free to bring Courtney back anytime.
Okay, she's my campaign manager. But we have to leave, and I apologize for that.
Not a problem. Okay, we're going to move on to the consent agenda. I forgot to ask, was there any other public comment? Okay, then we are going to move on to the consent agenda. We have a couple of items on the table. One was the historical use percentage share. That's just correspondence. That's the only other thing that relates to the consent agenda.
Madam Chair, I'd like to take correspondence number one and put it on our agenda, please.
Okay. So we'll add that as item number seven.
What is item number seven?
I'm just calling it correspondence number one. No further changes. I'd entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda as amended.
So moved.
Is there support for the motion?
Support.
Discussion. Okay, hearing none, all in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
No.
Okay, we need a roll call vote.
Freeman, yes. Westrick?
No.
Adams?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Maas?
Yes.
Phelan?
Yes.
Weitzel?
Yes.
Okay, the motion carries. Next, we'll go to agenda approval. We've had one addition to the agenda. Are there any other changes to the agenda?
Move we approve the agenda as amended.
Support.
Okay. Discussion on the motion? All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Okay, the motion carries. Next, we have approval of minutes. We have minutes from our regular meeting of December 19, 2011.
Motion to approve the December 19, 2011 meeting minutes as presented.
Support.
Okay, discussion on the motion? All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? All right, that motion carries. Okay, we're up to approval of bills. Does anyone have any questions regarding the bill list?
Bill list as presented.
Second.
Would you like that further identified? Is that good enough?
Okay. Did you get this one?
Trustee Weitzel.
Okay. Discussion on that motion. All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? All right, that motion carries. We have an item of pending business, which is on the table, ordinance number 38, our first reading.
Madam Chair, the only difference is between the language that you saw last month in this ordinance and the language this month is just that it has the description put in and the section numbers that we'll have as it fits into our codified ordinance. Mm-hmm. But it's the same language.
But the text is the same.
Text is the same. Okay.
You guys know how to adopt this? Is that it?
First reading.
It's the first reading. So what does the motion need to be?
I prepared one because we like to put the title in it. So if you want, I'll
okay.
make it.
Okay, great.
It'll take a minute. I'd like to make a motion to have ordinance number 38 considered read upon first reading, an ordinance to add chapter 27, vendors, and article 1, generally sections 27-1, 27-2, 27-3, 27-4, 27-5, 27-6, 27-7, and 27-8, and article 2, license, sections 27-31, 27-32, 27-33, 27-34, 27-35, 27-36, 27-37 and 27-38 and 27-39 to the Code of Ordinances, Charter Township of Watertown, Clinton County, Michigan, to define, regulate, and license vendors, and further that Ordinance Number 38 be placed on the February 2012 regular meeting agenda for final reading and vote.
Support.
Okay. Discussion on the motion?
I had some questions on it. This is just to not read it, right?
No, this is to say that we've had the first reading of
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, if there's no further discussion, all in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Okay, the motion carries. Okay, we'll go to new business item number one. Farm and Food Action Council of Southern Clinton County update from Diane Golzinski.
Diane's not here, and that's why I was a little worried about her accident, because she's very prompt, so if we could just maybe table that till next month, I can
okay.
And I'll follow up with her.
All right. Well, we'll just go on, and if she maybe is just running late and gets here, we can take it up later in the meeting. Okay, then we'll go to item number two, which was Eagle and Watertown Township's joint fire authority agreement. There is an additional copy of the joint fire authority agreement on the table that everyone should have received. It is identical to the one that's in your packet, except that it does not have the corrections in it.
It doesn't show the
No, wait a minute. There should be two. Oh, there are two copies. I'm sorry.
They're both on the table.
Right, they're both on the table. One has the memo from Dennis McGinty on the top, and then attached to it is the marked up copy of the Joint Fire Authority Agreement. So you have two of those that were presented at the table. The one that was in the packet was the existing agreement. So you've got a marked up copy and you've got an identical clean copy. The idea being that the marked up copy, Jennifer's going to go through that. We'll talk about the differences between that and the existing agreement. And then if everyone agrees with the suggested changes, then we would adopt the clean copy, if that makes sense. Jennifer, do you want to go through and just point out the changes that...
If I don't point it out, it's because it was just a formatting change, so it wasn't anything big. Therefore, this agreement on page one, that is just the day that it would go into effect. I don't think that's until both boards have actually approved it. So there, I just changed the date to 2012.
So it changed the date from 2008 to 2012.
Correct. The second change is on the top of page 2 of 8, and this is Article 2, Section 8A, 7E. And what was added there was the purpose of allowing that text was to allow for there to be further defined the abilities and powers of the authority to contract for any and all functions of operating fire department. The second change on that page B, and that was the insertion of the text in medical first response services. So it was allowing for the LGRFA to contract for medical first response services. The original agreement just had for fire service, and this allows for medical first response as well.
I have a question and a short question. Since on the first one she read on page A, contract for any and all services necessary to execute the purpose and intent of this agreement, what was in place prior to that? Nothing.
That was an addition. So there was no E.
Right. There's no E. That's a new language.
So how did they contract for services? The fire authority.
We provided the service. The fire authority itself provided it.
Up till now.
No, previously, without, and this was not there, how did you operate? You didn't contract for services?
No, we hired our own employees. We didn't have a contract with another entity to provide services.
Everything was in-house.
Well, no, there was that dry cleaning, wasn't there, and the cleaning laundry service?
Well, at one time.
There is further places in the agreement that allowed for the authority to contract for services. This specifically defined any and all to make sure that there wouldn't be any vague. So they did have the ability to contract before. It was just very vague.
Thank you.
The next change is page 3 of 8 under Article 6A, and this change deleted the language stored and maintained and added the addition housed. Say that the fire department vehicles and equipment shall be housed in the LGFA authority. Realistically, sometimes you can't maintain it in your fire burn. You want to make sure that you are allowing yourself the best way to maintain the vehicles and equipment. The next change is to B, and it was the addition of authority before vehicles and authority before personal property, so that just made sure that the LGRFA is responsible for authority vehicles and authority personal property, not just in general.
Clause means that if Delta Township stores a vehicle in their NRM building, we're not responsible for it. It's there. So this is a sort of a clause to say we're only responsible for our equipment.
Okay. The next change is on page 4 of 8, Article 8D4. That was to add the words as necessary. The board as necessary shall appoint such personnel as shall be required for the efficient and necessary operation of fire service. And I changed it to fire service because nowhere else in the agreement do we define fire department. We talk about a fire service. And that will take care of the fact that they can appoint if necessary, but they don't have to.
Does that mean, Jefferson? I don't understand. I thought Delta Township was going to provide you with the service personnel.
They will provide service, but in the way that it was written, it says the board shall, meaning that they had to appoint the personnel. Now it says if necessary, they'll appoint personnel. In the event that, say, the agreement doesn't work, they'll still have the ability to appoint personnel, but they won't need to if there is an agreement that's approved. Number 6, same page. The board, or the addition of the language, or any contractor of the board shall have no authority to levy tax. That way, we added the language that no one else whose work is operating on behalf of the fire authority can levy any taxes to Eagle or Watertown Township. The next change is number 8. And that was just adding the word authority before and deleting the words fire department.
Just to make it consistent with the rest of the agreement.
To make it consistent with the rest of the agreement. And that way it also, if there are no authority part-time personnel, then there's no need for any action. The next is on page 5 of 8. Article 8D, middle paragraph. This would be the language that you saw in the that was given by the attorney. The language that I had proposed, you would see he crossed the cross out within the underlying portion is what the attorney changed. I had added the language directly that was within the proposed agreement with Delta Township. The attorney prefers this language, so it's in there. The next change is on page 6 of 8, just in Article 10, that's just the change of the date. And Article B, Article 9B,
11B.
11.
Sorry, 11B. The term of this agreement will expire on December 31st, 2017. I mean, that I I put 5 years in there. It's really up to the two boards. I just put a date in there so we know that had to be changed. My thought was that the current agreement, if approved through Delta Township, would go through February 28th of 2017, and this would give you time afterwards. The other would be, I think that's just formatting.
C is formatting.
I tried to stay within 40 million changes. It's just kind of a little bit. The next big change, large change, is Article 11C, the last paragraph. The article that was referenced for termination, which was originally Article 7, and it should be Article 5.
What's that way?
The very last paragraph, it's just down at the end where it says, it references if this is a termination clause, and it originally had it terminating as opposed to Article 7 was what it was using. It should be Article 5.
And that was just an error in the existing agreement.
That was just an error in the existing agreement.
It's just the very last.
An important one, but it was there. And on the last page, it's just that the official recognized title of Watertown is the Charter Township of Watertown, and I wanted to keep that consistent with the agreement.
Although that does need to be changed just above the signature lines as well.
Oh, you're right.
I guess I lost you. Where are you at?
The very last page, 8
oh,
and 8.
Oh, okay. I see. All right.
Yeah, it should say Charter Township of Watertown instead of Watertown Charter Township.
Madam Chair?
Yes, John?
This is a very minor, well, I think it's minor, but we added the word authority in a few places, authority vehicles and authority whatever. And on page 1, the paragraph about halfway down, it says, therefore this agreement and so forth, refers to the Township of Watertown, here and after called Watertown, and the Township of Eagle, here and after called Eagle. I wonder if it would be appropriate to refer to the fact that they have formed a Looking Glass Regional Fire Authority, here and after referred to as authority, because otherwise the word authority is used further in the text, and it's not, I hate to say it, but it's not defined in the same manner in that paragraph in the beginning.
It actually is.
Oh, is it?
It's just a little farther down. It's Article Number 3, Formation and Name.
Oh, excuse me, I missed it. It's over there. I was looking up on page 1. Yes, you're right. Never mind.
Nope. Good idea.
Well, I just thought, to be consistent,
yep,
somebody might say, well, what authority are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
This does just define it. Thank you.
Does anyone have any questions about the changes that are proposed in this?
Madam Chairperson, the Looking Glass Regional Fire Authority Board, is this what they approved?
The Looking Glass Regional Fire Authority Board has not seen this because it's really not, that board has no input really into this joint agreement. The current agreement expired December 31st, 2011. But by the terms of the agreement, we do continue to operate under the same terms. But obviously, we need to have a new agreement signed. In discussion with Peg Schaefer, the Eagle Township supervisor, we talked about the need to take another look at this, given the fact that we're looking at this potential agreement with Delta, and make sure that the language that we approve would accommodate that agreement if we choose to enter into it. So that was the goal of this review, and certainly was taken into account in many of the changes that we're suggesting. Obviously, this agreement would have to be approved by both Watertown and Eagle Townships.
Has Eagle Township taken any action on this document?
The board has not. We really just discovered that this needed to be addressed recently. So the Eagle Township Board has not yet acted on it. I would hope that they would, that if we act on it this evening, then we would send it to them, and hopefully they will act on it. So do you have a special meeting planned, Patty? I hate to put you on the spot.
That's okay. I have called one for tomorrow night, as long as we get out of here before 10 o'clock tonight.
Okay.
If we acted on neither of them, there was no reason for us to rush into it.
Okay.
So as long as I call by 10 o'clock, that gives me that time.
Okay.
At this time, the projection is if everything goes well here, then I will call a special board meeting for tomorrow night at 6:30.
Okay. John?
In the draft agreement that we have with between Delta and the Whitney West Regional Fire Authority, we refer to the authority as the LGRFA. Now, I don't know if that gets confusing when you have these two contracts or not, but it's maybe a minor point, but that's what we do.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it should create
confusion. No, actually, I think Article 3 takes...
Right, because it does refer to
the
Looking Glass Regional Fire Authority.
So.
And I can give you a copy.
Did I see some other hands up?
Madam Chairperson, let's see if I understand that these changes came about through a joint effort between you, the supervisor of Watertown Township, and supervisor of Eagle and Delta.
No, I wouldn't say that it was a joint effort. It was something that we put together here because someone's got to start the process somewhere.
Okay.
Jennifer actually combed through this. I've also reviewed it. Our township attorney has also reviewed it and has approved the language changes that we proposed here.
I wouldn't say it's the most drastic change, but there's a 5-year contract period. If you have any concern about a 5-year.
The reason that we chose a 5-year is because that's the proposed term of the agreement with Delta. The Delta agreement would go until February of 2017. This would go until December of 2017, just because this has historically been a calendar year contract. So that was the logic behind it. I mean, that is a change that the supervisor's office is proposing. And certainly if the board feels that some other time frame is appropriate, then, you know, that could be discussed this evening. I mean, in the past, we've had 3-year agreements with the fire authority, I believe, each time.
Well, the relationship seems to have worked pretty well. I don't have any concern about a 5-year contract. I just wanted to see if there are some basis for what we're reaching.
That was the thought process.
Mm-hmm. Now, Madam Chairperson, you're asking us to adopt this Eagle and Watertown Township or approve it. What are we doing, approving or adopting?
I think we would want to approve it. We adopt resolutions and we approve agreements. Is that right, Madam Clerk?
I believe that. I agree.
Yeah. So we would approve the agreement.
Madam Chairperson, I move that we approve the Eagle and Watertown Townships Joint Fire Authority Agreement. Was presented on 16 January 2012. Support.
Okay, discussion?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Now, this isn't the one. Are you voting to enter into an agreement with Delta, or is this just for this?
No, this is strictly to continue our arrangement with Eagle Township,
okay,
with the slight modifications that are in this revised agreement.
Okay. I have one more question. There's no conflict here with the Delta Township agreement, is there?
I don't believe so, and our township attorney has not raised any red flags for us in terms of that. So, hopefully not. Is there any further discussion? Okay. Let's have a roll call vote on this.
Weitzel?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Maz?
Yes.
Thalen?
Yes.
Westrick?
Yes.
Freeman? Yes. Mitchell?
Yes.
Okay. Motion carries. That agreement is approved.
so we'll go on to new business item number 3, which is the Looking Glass Regional Fire Authority Service Sharing Agreement.
Now, for application, Madam Chairperson, are we approving this or adopting this?
I think, again, because it's a contract that we're approving it.
And as long as you do a roll call vote, it'll work either way. I think we need to approve it.
Madam Chairperson, I will prepare a proposing motion just to get this moving for discussion. I move we concur with the recommendation of the Looking Glass Regional Fire Authority Board and approve the fire and ambulance shared services agreement between the Charter Township of Delta and the Looking Glass Regional Fire Authority. Here you can
push
that down to the clerk.
I'll support that motion.
Okay, discussion.
I have just a few questions. There's one thing there, rate determination for the being. Explain that. Does it need to have a reason or just because somebody wants to?
That's just because somebody wants to.
Yes.
You don't have to have a reason for it.
Okay. So in other words, after a year, they could just say, oh, I don't want to do this.
Okay. Either one of us could.
Okay, obligations. Can the township have the option to use any extra space at the fire department? You know? Well, you're going to have 3 people there in that big building.
We really haven't defined every square foot space, but the idea is that they'll function in the space that we now use for administration and private fires.
Mm-hmm. And what space is that?
Well, that would be the chief office, dispatching office, the garage itself, any other maintenance areas. We have a training area on the second floor. Generally, the whole building, except for one small office that is used occasionally by the state police.
Okay. And another thing is, the initial term is 5 years. If it is terminated before the 5-year period, is there any penalty for doing so, and who is penalized? As far as getting any grant money that they get because they did co-rapper. What's that?
The EBIT grant money is, and we haven't accepted that grant yet. That's something that we're going to have to, all 3 boards will have to accept. So they will put those terms out in EBIT grant. It does look like that we are headed in that direction of the grant. We have some very positive news. We should have an official announcement sometime. So we'll have to determine some things about ambulance ownership if the authority would go back out on its own. But we'll have those known to us before we accept the grant. And the plan was never to have the grant, so it doesn't, nothing we do financially, we're still going to have the cost savings. We realize the grant is kind of frosting on the cake. So if we are fortunate enough to get that, we'll review it with all 3 townships. And if it's amicable, everybody will move forward, but if it's not, we don't accept it.
So where do you get your grant from?
The grant that's right now that I wrote for, the Chief Fabiano helped me write for, is from the State Treasury Department. It's called the Economic Vitality Incentive Program, and it's a grant for basically what the fire department merging, city park merging, whatever, any kind of shared services, and it's meant to help you. In our case, we looked at it for cross training to reduce some overtime costs. And for an ambulance, because we're going to have an ambulance up here and some other communication equipment that we're going to have with Mr. Fivey, hopefully. So that's the extent of it. We will move forward with those things either way. This would just, it would make our cost savings realized in the first year much more than what we had established.
So you would know whether the Treasury Department, how they feel about it, if you opt out after a year, they would not have a problem with that?
We'll ask that question before we accept the grant.
Okay.
Like I said, the plan is put together without that grant money involved, so it's not a negative impact if we don't get it. If we do get it, then the first step is them authorize us to have it, and then we'll have to go through the rules and regulations and make sure that it's something all of us are comfortable being with.
And the Treasury will live with.
Correct, exactly. We'll all be on the same page.
Okay. That was my last question.
Okay.
Yes, I have questions. Section 5A, where it talks about part-time staffing. At all times, we will have the equivalent of three full-time people.
Right, one per shift, and then you'll have one. You'll have two people here every day, and actually Chief Fabiano will remain stationed to station. Electronic aid, when someone sees a smiling face, we don't necessarily need to see each other every morning. We get more accomplished by him standing up here for protection. So, yeah, it's the exact same mission. You have to get three full-time. In some cases, you may have two full-time on duty up here if that's the way, especially during training. There may be actually two full-time a day up here on a rotating basis. But the commitment is three full-time, one per shift, and one part, well, be more than one part-time position per shift. But there may be anywhere from 4 to 5 to 6 to 10 people filling that part-time.
The intent is, and this contract was written to operate as we're operating now. So we're not changing the number of personnel.
Okay. Equal or better as to what we have right now.
We say three full-time staff. So you know, if equal or better, we say three full-time staff.
Okay. And the other question I have, Section 5E, where we reference Exhibit B. It's the site plan review issue burning permits according to township ordinances. So this will be done like per Watertown's ordinance and per Eagles ordinance. And then,
yeah, that'll be something we'll have to address in our SOGs, because most of the SOGs and the operating procedures will be melded into one. We're fairly similar now anyway. But that'll be one that we'll have to say if you're going to issue a burning permit in Dell Township, A, B, C, whatever, it will have to be different based on the ordinance, since we have different regulations we enforce.
And is that two things, like site plan review, comment issue, burning permits? Is that like two different things?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think your comments are left out.
Thank you. Actually, you know what? I was reading it.
Site plan review comment issue burning permit. That's right.
It made me think, am I not understanding something, or is this a punctuation issue? So I had to ask.
I think there was actually, it was supposed to be another bullet point. That makes sense.
And then, I don't know if it was in this agreement or just in 911's letter, but our fire authority is referred to as Delta Township Fire Station Number 4.
Yeah, we address that. The misnomer for that is when they get dispatched on a call, once the CAD's in place and everything, and I'm sure Jim's probably going to say something in a minute about that, once that's in place, that, when they're dispatched, it'll be dispatched over the radio with Delta Station 4, because the primary frequency will be Eaton County's frequency. The lettering on the trucks is not changing. The name on the station is not changing. As a matter of fact, I'm so tight, I've got six guys with borrowed looking glass gear on right now that won't change. And basically, it's $1,400 a set. The only thing we're changing is their patches will change on the shirt. I'm so tight, I'm going to patch over there.
I'm thrilled that we're all working together. I think that's great for all of our communities, but work so hard to get our fire station that I...
No, the only way that would really happen, we're in a shared service agreement versus a true merger where you end up with three names like Brighton area or Howell area or Deerfield, Heartland, Tyrone, where they actually have authority put together. And, it's totally different.
I'll take that. We're not going to change any names.
Then I would like to reference Jim's letter if we could. Are we working to address the issues that Mr. Fivey has brought forth?
Yes, we've actually been meeting with, and I, if I won't speak, I'll start here. We've been meeting for probably the last 2 months at least about that. We actually have a meeting on the 30th, 31st, I believe, again. Our intent is to operate as is, meaning just nothing will change in the way we take calls, receive calls, transmit calls, until such time we have CAD in place. And we've made the commitment, whether we have that grant or not, that was one of the components to that grant was to put that infrastructure in place. And to get back, not to sidetrack to your question, is we'll have a discussion with VBIT because there's going to be some other, even if we didn't ever merge there or join shared services, there would be some advantage to having that in place. So I think that would be the one thing that would be defined outside of it, that would, if you decided to be your separate again, that it's still a benefit to the communities and you still keep it. So that being said, those things are in place. The plan is to go forward. Once we get CAD to CAD and get the radio communications in, then we'll move forward. But we had made a commitment on the backside that we understood that was going to take place at some point anyway. It may be a dispatch method the way it is right now, sooner than later, depending on what the grant comes through and program and timing and everything like that. You're probably looking at a 69-day window to get those things installed anyway, depending on what their availability is. And I'll let Jim speak to that some more.
Okay, all right.
I got another question.
Go ahead, Jim. I'll catch you just a second ago.
Thank you. For the record, Jim Feige from Clinton County Central Dispatch. It seems like we had an ample opportunity to get our concern letter to you in advance. I'm not going to read it. I'll just kind of highlight, summarize our key points, and the Chief alluded to them. If we continue dispatching the way we are today, or the direct dispatching, then from response time to Clinton County citizens, we don't see an issue. And if the 460 was referred to, or the Eaton County frequency gets installed at Clinton Central so we can direct dispatch the station, continue that process, and have communications with them, and the CAD-to-CAD software, it's a dispatching software that both Eaton County and Clinton County can use as if they're in the same center. Once those are implemented, we don't see any reduction in service to the citizens. So my concern is only to mention that anything short of that, we need to continue as is, or there is a potential for delay in response. That's the gist of our concern. And it appears that we're moving in the right direction, and so we're content.
Well, and I think it's important to note that since negotiations began with this plan was a year and a half ago, that has always been the intent when it came to dispatching, and that's never changed.
I just had a curious question. Now, you'll have three people at the Looking Glass Fire Department. Now, just what happens when you have an emergency in Eagle? And now, do they do the EMS too?
Yes. Yeah, they'll respond out of there.
So then what happens when that place is empty?
Well, the way the system's set up is a little different operationally. And those are still things that the Chief Fabiano and I have to work out. Is the change in the structure here will be you'll have an ambulance up here, paramedic ambulance, but our intent always was to completely staff our equipment, load that up separately, so your engine will become a paramedic engine also. So the ambulance goes out, you have a second paramedic vehicle there until the next ambulance arrives, which will come out of station one. Depending on our manpower staffing is, we could move an ambulance up here if they're going to be gone for a long time, if they're on fire or something. You're back to a personnel area to come in for runs just like they do now. So we don't see any issues with that.
I didn't think there would be, but I was just curious.
And I would like to apologize, Mike. Quite sure we class all day today, even though it was day off, and we got hit with 5:30 with a car accident, three people trapped, then we got a fire alarm, and we got a structure fire, which actually Chief Fabiano came down. I was the only unit on that for a while, and then we had another call, so never had time to change. I apologize. It's normally not this important.
That's too bad.
Not a problem.
Well, he has my car on the floor.
Day off. He probably is fired in the white
shirt. Is there any further discussion, Ken?
This just demonstrates, the conversation, the professional services and stuff like that. From my very first involvement, when we started talking about the fire authority, has always been the chiefs have always taken care of the community, regardless of which chief, where their jurisdiction is, or anything like that. The fire chiefs and the firefighters and stuff like that, our central dispatch and all kinds of, we are so blessed to live in an area where our professionals take care of us and do a good job. They all do a good job.
There's any attributes to this, Chairperson, the fact that we get an ambulance here, which has been the voice of a concern for a number of residents, and also it's a money saving for everyone all the way around. So it's a good plan.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, it's good work done by everybody.
Okay, if there's no further discussion, then let's have a roll call vote, please.
Westrick?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Weitzel?
Yes.
Freeman, yes. Maas?
Yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Okay, contract is approved. Okay, we're going to go on to item number 4, Planning Commission 2011 Annual Report.
I told the planning director that I would pass on the message that is very similar to the report she gave last year, which is updated information.
Those we accept and place on by the annual report for the Planning Commission.
Support.
Support.
Okay. Discussion? All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? All right, that motion carries. We'll go to item number 5, which is the Lakeside Preserve Subdivision Request for Additional Streetlight.
This is for our streetlight on Airport Road at the entrance, the southern entrance off of Airport Road to the Lakeside Preserve. It was requested by the developer, and it will be added to the streetlight assessment district for Lakeside Preserve. And it's paid for by the developer. It's actually already been paid for, right? They just don't have it yet.
Oh, okay.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Motion to approve the change in streetlight contract for the installation of the streetlight at the southern entrance off of Airport Road to the Lakeside Preserve subdivision as requested by Lakeside Preserve residents. Notification number 101-402-5696.
Is there support?
Support for discussion.
Okay.
Why aren't we amending the streetlight district if we're adding to the streetlight district? I mean, if the residents are paying for the extra electricity, don't we have to amend the streetlight district? We're increasing it.
No, I don't think so, because it's being added to the existing district that already is there. We're not adding a new geographical area. Right. That area is already in that streetlight district. So they've added an additional light, so it's just the cost of that light is going to be added to...
With an existing...
Right, but not until next... I mean, it won't be until next year.
Right. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Any further discussion, Dale?
Yeah, that's kind of curious. I emailed the county because they've been working on an energy situation for the last year or two. And I don't know if this is something that Dennis would be interested in, but they went to all LED lighting over in the county. I don't know where they all put them. But I was kind of surprised when he emailed me back and said that they will save $20,000 to $30,000 in a year by going to LED lighting. I don't know how many lights they put in, but they got it through a federal grant.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. I know they're cheap, and they last a long time. But I was really curious about that when he sent that back, because he didn't put a comment in, so I emailed him back, and I says, was that $20,000 to $30,000? He says, yeah. But they, I don't know how long they've had it. They've had the lights, but he said they wait 18 months before they make a determination. Determination on what their savings were.
Yeah. Any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, all in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Okay, that motion carries. And then number 6 is the Township Manager's Report. Does anyone have any questions for her?
I have a question. Okay. Let me do Clerk Board, the Township Manager. Did we receive any more correspondence regarding the Broad Stripe bankruptcy that they out of there?
I have not, no.
That's something to keep an eye on because, you know, I don't know if it's going to nullify all their contracts and they come out because they out of bankruptcy and being taken over by a private equity firm. It's always been my concern, these private equity firms.
Mm-hmm.
That has to be both these days and
yeah.
Politics. Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
On that point, I didn't have any phone today.
most of the day. So I called her on the strip. Sit on the phone for 15 minutes to tell my wife, I think I should use enough minutes. So I said, well, you take care of it. I hung up the phone. We called them back, and they said, well, it might be 6 hours before you call you back. They didn't call back. I don't know if they're in business or not.
Hopefully that won't continue.
I don't know. I went outside and checked the phone, and then I plugged it back in. I came back. I don't know what the problem was, but I got my phone back by myself. But they never did call me back.
We had phone service here.
Good. Yeah. My internet, that's my internet. It comes and goes.
Yeah.
My internet was
slow
working,
than
so
slow.
It had to be working. Mm-hmm. We're working. You know.
That's odd. Janice? I would like to compliment Jennifer, and I'd also like to include Dale in this, the Wacoosta Drainage Construction Project that's underway. I know it's taken a lot of effort and meetings and time, and I'm just real happy to see that that's underway and moving forward.
Me too.
From that.
I can tell you something about that. They didn't really do it the right way because they were supposed to fix Wacoosta Road. They were supposed to redo, and this is right from the drain commissioner, they were supposed to fix that drain problem on Wacoosta Road and didn't do it.
But that's probably the road commission.
Well, I know, but according to the email I got, they weren't supposed to do that project until the road was done. Mm-hmm. But they did, but hopefully it's not a problem.
Baby steps.
Huh?
Baby steps.
No, baby steps, you start the right way.
Anyhow, I'm happy to see this going. I just wanted to mention that.
Okay. All right, we'll move on to new business item number 7, which is the correspondence. I'm sorry, do we want a motion to place this on file? Or?
I guess it does not.
Sure, I'll make that motion. Accept and place on file.
Support.
Okay, discussion? All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Okay, motion carries. So now we'll go on to correspondence item number 1.
I asked for this to be placed on the agenda because it seems like when I rent the township community center for an event, I have to go through those damnable heavy tables to find some that will hold without falling, and it's the most frustrating thing that I can. Maybe because I'm always pressed for time, and so to set up a table, and first of all, you have to muffle them because they're not lightweight. So you have to muffle them up. You start to set them up. You find out the thing's broken. Now where do I put this? Because my first inclination is to throw it out the door because it's junk because it's broken, but I can't do that because it's my township property, and that would just be completely disrespectful. So I have to find a place to put it so that I can find another table that is good. And I just really, my sympathies went out to these people that, you know, they're trying to set up for an event and we've got bad tables. So I just wanted to bring that forward and let you know I too have experienced this, and it's frustrating. And I'd like to see us do something about the tables.
Jennifer? I've had the maintenance supervisor go through the tables, but I have to tell you, we just used them for lunch with Santa, and we used a ton of them, and the tables are fine. There's nothing wrong with the chairs. But I guess maybe it's expectation. If you're renting chairs from, like, American Rental, or you're renting them tables and chairs, I mean, those chairs are tables and chairs are in really rough condition.
They are.
These are not. I mean, I don't know if people don't want to cover them, but you know, the board made a decision not to rent tables and chairs out, and that was the funding source for replacing the tables and chairs. Could we get a few more? Sure. We could start to redo that, but you know, I'm going to ask the maintenance supervisor to go through and see, you know, where we are inventory wise of useful chairs. I can just tell you that we had them out for the Lunch with Santa event, and we didn't have any problem. We do put a cover over the top, but, you know, maybe we should be requiring people to put a cover over the top when they use the tables. Because our rental fee I mean, I think that we could, if we want to start doing a replacement, I think that maybe we need to have two separate fees, the rental facility fee and rental facility with tables and chairs, because our rental fee is low compared to Stroninger. It's very low.
Yes. See, for me, it isn't even the top. It's the fact that you set them up and you go to secure the leg and it's broken. And you can't secure the leg. So, all that energy into putting up the table now is wasted. And that, to me, is the issue. Not the top, because we've always talked about, I don't care about the top.
And I'll have to do an inventory and see how many of them are broken.
That would be very frustrating. And I'm sure that Amy goes through and fixes them, and then they get used, and then they break, and then they get put aside, or buried in
the pile. You know, they're just not. They're, you know.
So. Well, they're big, heavy tables. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to be gentle with them, even if you were trying to be respectful.
I remember the last time we had an evaluation, the board did provide funds to correct the situation, and that, I don't know how many years ago that was, so we had to make the supervisor review and inventory all the equipment. So there's, it's a good idea. She said she's going to do it, and the township manager's going to do it, but they, and I think it's a good idea.
I know I haven't been down here to invest in a while, but I know on some of the tables, the wood was broken out in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
So what that did, you had a piece of steel going around the outside, and the woods broke out. Well, the first time somebody ran down through there and got their finger, and that broke their finger, you'd buy a whole gym full of tables. That's something that any of them tables, that if they're still there, should be disposed of or repaired.
You just can't
deal with that, because you stick your finger in something like that and break it, that's a serious injury.
Something else for the maintenance supervisor to check out. But since you've used it, you don't have any problem with the chairs, do you?
Oh, what's with the chairs?
Yeah,
the table.
Chairs are.
Yeah,
you look at them, they look practically brand new.
Yeah. It's setting up a table. The man
well,
no,
we
have a table.
They're really heavy.
Only to find out that you cannot secure it.
See, we got rid of ours very much.
Melissa.
Oh, I'd like 2 cents. I agree the chairs are fine. I agree the tables have problems. I use them for elections, and usually Andy and I sort out certain tables because we can't cover them for elections. We can't put tablecloths on for the election. So we pick through and make sure that we have the best ones, because there's some that have, like, tape on them, and I don't know if it's holding something together, but some of them sag and bow, and they just don't look good for sitting out in the election. So we have to sort through quite a few tables to get, like, 10 decent ones to put up for the election. So I agree about the tables. They need some help.
Okay. I don't think we need a motion to have those reviewed, so you'll bring the information back to us.
Sure.
Okay. We're back to discussion and public comment.
You still have, did you want to just take no action on the business one, or just, I mean, we could do that. We could, that doesn't preclude us from putting
on
that.
Oh, yeah, let's just take no action. So
okay.
It's perfect. Didn't come this evening, and we'll just put it on next month if turns out she can come. Discussion and public comment, anyone? Patty?
Patty Schaefer, Eagle Township. A couple of things. I would like to thank Deb and Jennifer for working on the changes on the joint agreement. I do apologize, as Deb did too, as neither of us noticed that it was expiring or that it had expired. To answer a couple of questions that your board had regarding what was Eagle's thoughts on a couple of things, one was the term going till December of 2017. I did bring a couple of these changes to our board last Tuesday when we met, and one of them that I did mention that we were going to request was it to go through December 31st of 2017. So they were very welcome to that idea. And the other ones I told them we were looking at was to make sure that this agreement, however we had to reword it or put a clause in like Jennifer did, was to make sure that we could run business as usual, as we do now, but also leave the opportunity open if we were going to sign the Delta service sharing agreement as well. So I will call a special board meeting tomorrow night for our board to look at these. We did look at the Delta service sharing agreement too. Had quite a lot of questions. Mr. Fivey, both John Clark's chair in chief and Chief Fabiano were all there to answer all the questions that we had. There were no other questions at the end of the meeting, but I asked to have it tabled until after we had received, or until we actually had a current agreement with Watertown Township so that we could approve everything in a proper order. But I did not find or did not hear any concern other than the same that George Weitzel made a comment, is we're finally getting an ambulance running out of our fire station, which is what our board has wanted for many, many years. And just by this opportunity, we will automatically save, you know, Eagle Township anyways, $25,000 a year not paying Grand Ledge. So then I no longer have to watch their finances and question them on all their stuff. So those two aspects in itself, without also the opportunity of, you know, cost savings at the authority level, it was a win-win situation for Eagle Township from the beginning. But to go back to contracting versus ownership is a concern I still have. But we've never done this before. Nobody else has. This is the first regionalization opportunity in mid-Michigan. And if we all have an opportunity to show people how things can be done and it will work well, I think our board will look favorably on this tomorrow night. But I just wanted to throw out a couple things that our board did discuss. I don't see any problems with it tomorrow night. Now, do you have signed, will you be signing an agreement for our joint one tonight that I would take back with us and have our clerk and I sign? Or is that something we would sign as a formality after the fact?
I don't see any reason. We've approved it.
And I can go make just a change on the signature page and get it right out to you. I mean, it'll take less than a minute. So
okay.
Sure. And then on the Delta one, I think we have to wait because I think that third attachment says agreement dated the 2008.
Right.
So I think unless yes. Okay. So, but if you have that and you both want to, I would be happy to wait for that so I can just take that with us tomorrow night and then get you your original signatures.
Okay.
But thank you.
I think Clark Friedman could email the motions that were made tonight so that she would, you'll have them, the motions that were made here tonight.
She could.
I think I'm pretty confident that everything went through, that the board would believe me when I told them that everything had passed unanimously. And whatever you'd like to do is fine. Thank you.
Thanks, Patty. Okay, any other discussion or public comments?
John? The only thing I wanted to add was that I did think that it was important that it had been discussed, because I know that the LGFA chair, Mr. Clark, and I, as well as the negotiating committee, had spoken for many, many, many months about the importance of communication between the stations. And I wanted to make sure, because some of the correspondence that's gone back and forth and some of the very negative correspondence that's gone back and forth, that it was on the public record, that from the beginning that had been discussed and it was not an issue.
Okay, if there's anything further, we have a motion to adjourn. All in favor?
All right.
All right. Okay.